we pray, we're not praying in a vacuum or praying, you know, with some kind of wishful thinking. We're not praying to give God power to do anything. He's well able to. And the fact that we pray, when you think about it, that God knows everything, it begins to help us understand that the reason we pray is not to give God information. Because He knows everything. He knows your past, He knows the present, He knows the future. So when we pray, we're not trying to give God information. When we pray, we're trying to get God's perspective on an issue. We're trying to hear His part of this story. Now, it's important that we grasp that, because that will help us escape a lot of pain. There are flowers all over the place. These are not real. And no matter how much I squeeze them, to try to crush it, it's not going to produce any fragrance. But for us, when we go through things, the ultimate purpose is that the fragrance of who God is comes out of us. Now, I don't look for crushings, but it is an experience of great grace for me to experience the fragrance of His glory in my life when I'm surrendered to Him. That there's something about God that I experience every time I go through different things. So the Bible says, count it all joy when you go through diverse trials and temptations. Actually, if you don't mind, give me James 1, even though that's not going to be our key passage for prayer today. The fact that we pray says something about us. It says, my brethren, count it all joy. My brethren, fellow citizens, family in the kingdom of God, count it all joy. No matter what it is you're going through, when you fall into diverse temptations, all kinds of temptations. It's when you fall, count it all joy. Why? Knowing this, you got to know this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It works patience. It gets patience to go to work. The trying of your faith, it gets patience to go to work. Have you ever heard somebody say, never pray for patience? Well, not according to that verse. You should be praying for patience. Patience has a work that it does. And it says, you have to let patience have her perfect work. Let patience do its thing. It has something that patience is supposed to accomplish. Its purpose is that we may be perfected. Patience brings us to that place where we are perfected, that he may be perfect and entire. Or in essence, you be perfect and whole, completed, wanting nothing, lacking nothing. Oh, let patience have her perfect work. What does the Word of God say to us about not lacking? When God is my shepherd. Yeah? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So patience is, the ability to be patient is God's grace on our lives. God perfecting us, making us more like him. Wow. Think about it. How patient is God? If God wasn't patient, do you think any of us would be alive? Just clean the table. God is patient. Wanting nothing, lacking nothing. This is part of the reason why we pray. And then it goes on in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. This is one thing that God asks us to ask for, wisdom. Proverbs tells us that Jesus is wisdom. Wisdom is a person. But if you look at it closely, patience is a person. Let patience have her work. Let patience do its thing. If you lack wisdom, ask. And then it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, freely, profusely, and upbraideth not. God never upbraids you or chastises you when you ask for wisdom. He says, and it shall be given him. But if you're going to ask for wisdom, he says, ask in faith. Ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Isn't that interesting that when God says, ask for wisdom, that the next thing he says is, you got to ask in faith? I thought that might be the easiest thing for me to do. Ask in faith. Oh God, I need wisdom. That seems so easy. But do you believe that you receive it? Do you believe that you receive it? Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. External factors. So when he says ask in faith, he's saying when you're asking God for wisdom, shut off everybody else that thinks that you're not smart enough. Believe that God gives it to you. Shut off everybody, anything that says otherwise. That's why it is hard. Because you say you're wise and you do something foolish. And then you say, awe. I'm so stupid. Oh, I'm so silly. Oh, yeah. God is saying, don't confirm your shortcomings. Believe your godness. But many times we confirm our shortcomings, and therefore we take one step forward and take two steps backwards. We take one forward and we take two steps backwards. And instead of going forward, we keep on going backwards. God says, be still and know that I am God. If you ask me, I give it to you. I didn't see the manifestation of it. Don't step backwards. Father, I thank you again. I may have fallen flat on my face, but you know what? If you fall flat on your face, you fell forward. Is that all right? If you fall flat on your face, you fell forward. Get up and keep on going in the direction you fell, in the direction of the goodness of God. Amen? He says, if you don't do that, you're going to be double-minded. Don't expect to get anything from God. Now, what does that mean to us? It says, for let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded person is going to keep on falling and falling and falling. And God is saying, listen, you are not always going to fall. I've been watching my grandkids grow up. Well, I knew that to be true with my children. But now I'm even more so attentive to my grandchildren. Watching them grow. And looking at them run. And I'm thinking, you are running? And running that fast? I used to remember when you couldn't even walk. And when you started walking, how many times you fell. But now you're running. Well, if that child fell the first time and says, ah, that hurt. I'm not going to walk. I'm going to keep on crawling. Will they walk? Will they run? Absolutely not. Because you fail does not mean that that's where you're always going to be. They fall less now. They must stay stable now. But if you are afraid You keep on falling. God says, don't be double-minded. You're going to be unstable in all of your ways. Don't expect to receive anything from God. Well, because God doesn't give things to people that waste it. Tonight we're going to pray. And we're going to believe that we'll receive. We're going to ask God for wisdom. We're going to ask God for wisdom concerning our lives, knowing what we're about. We need wisdom. We've been talking about our godness. We need wisdom for that. God's wisdom. So, our lives, knowing what we're about, we need wisdom. We've been talking about our godness. We need wisdom for that. God's wisdom. But the important thing is to stop, absolutely stop downgrading ourselves because of something that went off. Do that. If we don't keep on taking steps backwards while we're trying to go forwards, we'll find out that we're gaining more ground every day. We're becoming more like Him every day. Now, when you want to walk godly, there are going to be enough voices that remind you about the mistakes that you're making right now. Hey, thought you're supposed to be a holy person. How come this house is not clean? How come this car is dirty? How come this and how come that? How come you came late to work? And on and on and on. There's going to be something that will drip, 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 drip and make you feel very human and less godly. The more you are attacked, when you're trying to live the way God wants you to live, even though you're falling flat on your face, the more you celebrate. Actually, it says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. And when you're down, he says, rejoice, you're exalted. Huh? Wow. So you're the right place. Don't worry about it. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. You're doing fine. When you were growing up, or if you watched your nieces or whatever, and they take a step and they fall flat, just took two steps, maybe one step. Oh, he's walking. He's walking. Really? every step that makes you different from what you used to be is to be celebrated. Not who I used to be. Hey, you're still smoking. You're still smoking. Yeah. How many did you smoke today? I smoked 10. 10 times. Ten. You smoked 10 times? I thought you were delivered. As a person, how much did you smoke yesterday? Well, I smoked 2 packs yesterday. 2 packs. Now you're smoking 10. Go for it. Maybe tomorrow you'll do 5. We want you totally free from this thing, but celebrate every step. Now I bring it to what we're going to pray about tonight. Our world is going crazy, but we're going to have to, if we believe in God for them, we're going to have to celebrate every little step that they take, because it is our way of celebrating a God who has answered prayers. He's answered it. You know, in the Bible, it's very deliberate of God. I believe it is. There are different words used for healing. There are words like therapeo. It's for therapeutics. And it's the, in a sense, the slowest form of healing. It means that you're getting better and better and better and better and better. There are words like aomai. That's progressive, but a little bit faster. There is words like aima. That's faster yet. Then there are words like sozo, which is a word for salvation also. It means wholeness. And on and on. But if I asked you, what is the most common word in the scriptures when Jesus healed people? Will it be aima, which is the fastest and immediate? Will it be aomai, which is really fast but not the fastest? Or will it be therapeo, which is the slowest? Would you be surprised that the most commonly used word when Jesus healed the people was the word therapeo? So when you come and you prayed for, receive it. I'm feeling better. Thank God. That's your celebration time. Thank you, Jesus. I'm healed. And I'm moving from therapeo to aima. The centurion came to the Lord. And says, my servant is sick. And Jesus says, I'm going to come and therapeo him. And he says, no, not so. I don't want the slowest form. I want the fastest form of healing. Just speak the word only, and my servant is going to be I. He upgraded the speed of his healing. And that's what we need to do. Upgrade. Can you say upgrade? Amen. Tonight we're going to ask God for upgrades. Whatever it is we're praying about, upgrade it. Or better yet, speedify. Praise the Lord. It all works. Amen? Okay. We want God to do something for us. And we're going to ask for upgrades, for a faster work. So let us rise before the Lord and just ask him for that. Father, we are thankful for your presence. We are thankful for your word. Lord, we are asking for a quick work. We believe that we receive. In the name of Jesus, pray. Just lift up your voice before the Lord and ask him to do it. Thank the Lord for the upgrade that you and I are receiving right now. The quick work, the fast work, the complete work for every area of our lives, for everything that we're going to be praying about tonight. As we ask for wisdom, we're asking God to upgrade our wisdom. That it will not be the wisdom of man, but the wisdom that is higher. He says in his word that his ways are not like our ways, nor his thoughts like ours. Because his ways and his thoughts are higher than ours. We want to connect with the higher dimensions of God's grace. Father, we are thankful, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, for a higher level of wisdom, a higher level of insight, a higher level of understanding, a higher level of knowledge, a higher level, oh God, of wisdom. We are asking, oh God, for supernatural upgrades, oh God, in every area of our lives. And Lord, oh God, that whatever it is that we're asking for, and Lord, oh God, that you will do according to your word, you will do exceedingly far beyond that which we dare ask or think, according to that power that worketh in us. Father, this day in the name of Jesus, we ask, oh God, for that supernatural power to bring about a supernatural upgrade. Father, in Jesus' name, we are believing you, oh God, for our world. We are believing you, oh God, for our society, for our communities, for our leaders, oh God, that you will do something extraordinary in their lives, that Lord, oh God, that those that need to experience you in a powerful way will experience you. That Lord, oh God, that strongholds of darkness will be shattered speedily and efficiently. That the exalted name of our Lord and Sovereign, Jesus Christ, will be established in the lives of men and women. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask, oh God, for an outpouring of grace and of favor upon our lives. Thank you, Lord, for miracles. Miracles, miracles, undeniable miracles, unexplainable miracles, miracles, oh God, that defy explanation. Oh, Father, good, my Father, do it speedily. We receive by faith that which you have already done. We receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Wisdom. Well, there are things happening in our world today that exposes the foolishness of man. Sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes it's very obvious. Man is trying to build his own kingdom. Man is doing his very best to build his own kingdom. And to do so, they seek to exclude God from their thinking, because God is a problem. You bring God into anything, you bring morality into a thing. You bring God. Accountability into a thing. Man doesn't want accountability. Man just wants to do his thing, his way. As I was driving here this evening, I was thinking about it. In a real sense, man is trying to regroup himself into a thing. Man doesn't want accountability. Man just wants to do his thing, his way. As I was driving here this evening, I was thinking about it. In a real sense, man is trying to regroup himself into the building of its own Tower of Babel again. Tower of Babel. It's a system that excludes God, but acknowledges God, but God for me without God. I'm going to be God of my life. But the thing is, when man wants to be God of his own life, he tries to God over others. That's the remarkable thing about it all. You want to be boss, then you have to be boss over something. And so we want to control. The survival of the fittest. Control things and shut everybody else down and determine what my truth is. I thought everybody had their own truth. No? You have your own truth until I decide that your truth must bow to my truth. Yeah? That's the confusion of man. Man just wants to take charge, control everything. And it's messing up our world. Today, we're going to pray. God, let these agents that think that they are God, I want to control everyone, humble them so that they recognize that there is only one God, and you are that God, and that they are just men. Because until man understands I'm just a man and I'm not God, he will always go against true purpose just to control people and subjugate people and enslave people in the lie that everybody is. It is the system of communism. We all have it together, but guess what? A handful of people have it. And they control everybody else. That control has to slip off. Because it's altogether witchcraft in every form of it. That's why our political leaders, many of them, practice witchcraft, occultism. It's just a way to control the masses. We're going to pray tonight, God, break that stronghold. Let them understand that they are just men. Whoever they are, I'm sure Hitler found out, I'm just a man. Idi Amin found out, I'm just a man. The leaders of our present time need to find out, I'm just an ordinary man. I need God. Amen? Let's pray. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we ask, O God, that men and women in our society today will recognize their need of God and that they are not God. And Lord, O God, that they need to be subject to you. You have a name that is above every other name. And in and by your name, every knee bows and every tongue must confess, Jesus Christ, that you are Lord. We declare this day in the name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign, that our governors, our presidents, our prime ministers, our premiers, our CEOs and CFOs and leaders of God in different levels of society, God, that they will understand that they are not God and that you alone are God. And Lord, O God, may they be subject, O Father, to your word, May they be subjected, O God, to your authority now. For, Lord, O God, we speak in the name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord. Satan, you are not going to have the final word. This day you will lose those that have joined ranks with you. For this day you are broken. This day your influence is shattered. And there is a clear recognition amongst men that they are not God, and therefore they are not in charge. By the authority in the name of Jesus Christ, we decree it so. We subdue everything to the lordship of our sovereign Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Disappoint them in all of their endeavors. Even Lord, O God, as you disappointed men, O God, as they try to build the Tower of Babel, Lord, O God, disappoint them again. Father, O God, in Jesus' name, that men may break free from these limitations, from the blindness of sin, and surrender themselves to you, King of kings and Lord of lords, forever. We believe we receive this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. God humbles the proud. If God doesn't grace you with his ability, then the devil must be the agent cause of whatever has been experienced. And all we're saying tonight is this: hands off, devil. Hands off. In Psalm 127, this is a psalm I will never forget because when I went to high school, middle school and high school, the school that I attended had this as the psalm of the school. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. He didn't say they're not going to try to watch. He didn't say they were not going to try to build. He just says it's going to be done in vain. In vain. That means a recognition, no matter what they are building, they're not getting the results that they were looking for. It's happening. Last week, down south, there were killings in two different spots. One in Buffalo and one in Uvalde, Texas. And here in Toronto, same thing last week. And the common response of man is gun laws and whatever. But nobody's asking the question, why are we having all these issues? Why does this keep on going on? And they're not tracing their steps back to the God out of the school system, no prayers. When I grew up, we had accept the Lord, build the house. They don't have that. They have literature breeds them to be. I can't understand that in our day and our time, that they want to teach 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old, crazy thoughts about gender identity and sexuality. But that's what's happening in our world. It's not just happening in the United States, it's happening right here. Right here in Canada. Our press doesn't say anything. We don't have a press that speaks out. School Division One here, a few years ago, we're bringing out all this crazy stuff that we are hearing. Actually, you'll be shocked that Canada is worse than the U.S. People in the U.S. look at Canada and say, hey, I hear all these kind of things are happening in Canada. What is that that's going on in Canada? What is that? This is happening in your country? The U.S. many times catches up with us. When you start hearing it in their news, you know that we've gone far over here. We've got real issues.